I don't know, I'm sure y'all glad to hear that. So it'll be short, and Howard will lead us in that.
As we leave the previous topic, I just share with you some data I saw not long ago that for every 3 African American males who obtain a college degree, there are 7 African American females that do so. For what it's worth.
So the challenge, the phenomenon that we just addressed, is an even greater disparity in the African American population.
By far, yes.
Yeah.
7-3. Wow. Yeah. I appreciate the opportunity to come and give you some information, an informational item today. The Career Service Center has long been a very viable part of student affairs and serves the students as well as our alums. And with the economy the way it is and the things that are going on in our community, we were challenged to and asked by a group that was put together by our mayor, and we were invited to come to the table to see what we could do to enhance and improve the opportunities for those who had lost their job to find other employment. And I'm going to turn the program quickly over to Dr. Becky Bennett, who is director of Career Service Center, and she will share with you some of the success that we've had.
I doubt that anybody's going to cry a river if I try to be very brief today, but I did want to bring you some, I think, relatively positive news as we go forward to try to meet the demands of the current economy and employment situation. And I was asked the question in early January, what can career services do to possibly help displaced workers? And I said, well, first of all, it's not just about this local community. We serve a lot of communities, and we're talking a lot about international even now. So where do we begin? And one of the things that obviously comes to mind for me, I'm kind of a Trekkie techie, is what can we do online? And thank you, Jeff, for bringing this up. Well, we immediately decided that we should put together a website that was friendly for our communities that we serve, and that it would address, if you're trying to get back to work, here are some resources specifically designed for you. It's not necessarily that those resources are new and different, but we already had some of those things available, so why not package them and make them available to the broader community and those folks who are in dire need? Along with the website, we decided to go ahead and offer 4 community workshops, one at Bowling Green Community College, and then at all of our regional campuses. And we invited, this was open, an open workshop, about an hour and a half in length, and we have now completed Owensboro, Etown, and Glasgow with workshops provided to the community on what do I do to help me get back to work if I am in a displaced worker kind of situation. To extend that, sustain what we've been trying to do, we've gone ahead and developed handouts. We've put the PowerPoint up there so that other groups could take this show on the road should they need to. We developed some quick video clips about resume writing and some of those kinds of things. I have a wonderful creative staff, so I don't take the credit at all. I took it back to them, and I said, here's what we can do. The question was asked in January. In February, we started offering these workshops. We feel like we will go forward with some of the things that we've been doing. We had some good help to get the word out. Thank you, Bob Skipper and Amy Bingham, who got some news releases out. We got some good press on BKO. Glasgow newspapers picked up some information about these workshops. So we feel like we've got a good start. We don't want to lose the momentum. And just to give you a little bit of a rundown, we've had about 1,700 hits on this page since we brought it up in February. So it's not like the economy is not giving us business to this webpage. There are a lot of folks out there that are in desperate need. As I went out and did one of the workshops myself, so I've been talking with those people. And I know that they are asking, are you coming back? Are you going to do some more workshops? It's not just about high tech. It's also about the high touch with folks who are in that kind of situation. So we do feel like we'll probably continue to do some of the workshops. We also decided that we needed to work with some of the areas that you're very familiar with are really going to have some growth here in the next little bit. Hardin County, for instance, is looking at some growth. So we hosted some workshops for the base realignment folks coming into the area so that they could come to this community and talk to folks about the positions that are going to be there. As I understand it, there will be about 400 new positions this summer and about 1,000 more next year. So what we have to do is help educate the public about where these positions are going to be. Not that it's just all gloom and doom. There aren't jobs out there. There are. And some of these, the positions run the gamut. So there's going to be some growth in our areas. Again, we developed some materials that we've tried to put up on the website, but I also want to provide you the... I'll just start these around if that's okay. This is one of the handouts that we provided in our workshops. There are a lot of resources out there for people who are in this situation. So we wanted to make the people who were coming to the workshops aware of the resources that were available to them. We tailored these for each of the areas that we were going into. We had one that was developed for Owensboro, one that was developed for Glasgow, Port Knox, etc. I've put all of them up on the website. This is just an example of the one that we put together, resources in the Bowling Green area. On the flip side, you'll see the workshop design and some information about the base realignment, Fort Knox types of civilian positions that are going to be available coming soon. That's what we've been doing in community outreach. But we haven't been doing nothing in terms of our own students because, after all, we have to help them prepare as they get ready to graduate here in the next little bit for a workplace that's not the best time for them to be graduating. And we began by looking at what we're doing currently to help those students. And I want to provide to the Regents our first WKU career quarterly report that we hope to be doing to give folks an idea of the types of things that each academic area is helping us with, the kinds of services that we're providing, and what the employment and job market kind of look like. We're looking at it locally, and we're contrasting that with some of the things that are going on nationally. We hope this will be a good tool for some of our senior administrators to use. And then if they choose to go ahead and share that with department heads and other folks in the academic area to help them see where we need to work with specific students in certain areas, then that's great. That's what we want this particular piece to do, and we hope to be providing that in sort of a quarterly report format. So, other things, other questions that you would like me to highlight or address?
It's a great program.
Absolutely.
Very, very, very responsive and thoughtful.
Thank you.
We thank you very much. Very proud of what Dr. Bennett does and her staff. As she says, she's got a very creative and very diverse staff that meets the needs of all of our students and attracts students from across the campus as well as as our alums. And just as a quick note, as I saw Dr. Miller making his report this morning about campus diversity, our staff, which is made up of 8 departments and student affairs, is quite diverse. We've got 2 of our department heads are African American, and we're very proud that now 3 of our departments are headed up by individuals with PhDs. 2 of all following there are ABD, and 3 with master's degrees. So student affairs is a little different now than what it probably was when David and I were living in West Hall. So we're that makes up some of those numbers that Dr. Miller is looking for. And we've got some other ABD folks coming along that will soon have their PhD completed. And of course, the challenge then becomes is making sure you keep them all. So, but right now, I feel real good that we will do so.
Howard, before, maybe the next meeting, maybe a meeting sometime in the next few meetings, but it's been quite some time since the board has, that we've had a briefing for the board on how our student disciplinary process works, your judicial system, how it's structured, how disciplinary cases are handled. It's not something that you want to be real... It's very efficient, very effective, very thorough, and seldom does a disciplinary case reach the board. So I'd like for your staff to get a little bit of... I'd like for the board to understand how all that works and the quality work that's being done.
We'd be glad to.
In that regard.
Yeah. That department, as you well know, is headed up by a young African-American that's... very happy to have, doing a very good job, and he has been challenged this year, and he has rose to the occasion. But I'll be glad to help.
Thank you, Howard, and very informative, and we appreciate that. And that ends the Student Affairs Committee report.
Thank you. We have a few other things to take care of. Would you look at your agenda and make sure your calendar is marked for the special meeting? It will be important for us to be there. It's a budget approval time, June the 19th, and you'll hear more from Julia about that. But mark your calendar to be sure you're here. That's very important. And you see the July quarterly meeting and the fourth quarter meeting, so you can get those on your calendar now and not have things that you have to juggle later on. We do have two committees to make recommendations. The first one I want is from Mr. Meyer regarding the president's pay increase, and you'll have a motion, I'm sure, to go
right
with that. Thank you, Mr. Meyer.
Our committee met, and